Welcome into 96.5 The Fan. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco with you, Mac Morey as well. It is a Thursday. It is a gloomy, shocking, depressing, whatever it may be, type of Thursday.
Not good.
No.
Not good. And I told you this morning, I'm not going to sit here and try to make good for everybody right now, because if you're in panic mode and you're nervous about this baseball team, you have every right to be nervous about this baseball team.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not a big stack guy, but, man, some of the numbers you're starting to look at right now make you go, ugh.
So I will play the opposite side of that, because I did put some numbers together just because I thought we needed something to back that up. And Mac and I were just talking and had a little conversation about, you know, what it is. But look, the truth is, I understand everything. I understand why you might be in a situation of the hell with it. This team stinks. I don't understand why they're losing. I understand if you have that sort of thing. Like last night, I got to the realization that I would listen to everybody's side of it. And I even went through Vern's postgame show in about 5 minutes, and I listened to the callers. And you'd be surprised by this. Everybody was optimistic.
Really?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, my God.
During the break, I could cut all the spots. There was about four calls, and everybody was kind of in the optimistic. And you can call in as well, 913-586-7965, and give your Royals take with only, what is there, like six games left?
Nine games left. Magic number of eight, which the magic number of eight has been that way since Saturday. So we're almost going a full week with the exact same magic number on this team. Yeah, and I do. Right. I want to hear from fans this morning about this team, like where your mental state is after that sweep. Now, look, I'll say this. The Detroit Tigers are playing hell of baseball right now, Dusty. They are the hottest team in baseball right now. What were they, like 25-10 over their last 35 games or whatever it is like that? But I didn't realize, and really this is the disappointing thing for me, is how much this team just got deflated with the loss of Vinny Pasquantino still. Like, if you're Vinny right now, you're probably calling John Sherman and go, hey, time to pay me, because I clearly was the catalyst of this baseball team. They are 7-11 now since Vinny Pasquantino went down, and you could say 7-12 if you count the game in which he got hurt in, you know, as a loss. I chose not to, because I didn't want it to look that bad at 7-12, but 7-11 since Vinny Pasquantino has gone down, and nobody has stepped it up, including the front runner at the time for the MVP, Bobby Witt. I mean, you know, I hate to be that guy, but like, he's the catalyst, Dusty, of this team. And over the last 28 days, he's hitting just .238 and just .246 in the month of September. And he's your guy, right? Like, you need him to get out there and lead this team. And, and he's not doing it right now.
But you can't talk about guys that aren't playing right now. And that's, and I keep seeing that.
No, Bobby's definitely playing right now.
I thought
you were
talking about Vinny Pasquantino. Sorry. But like, that's the thing that's like frustrating, is that, and I heard a couple of things like that. Like, is Vinny going to be back? Like, stop. It's not about Vinny Pasquantino, because you want to know what Bobby Wood Jr.'s done his last 10 games? He's hitting .256.
Yeah, he's not doing well.
He's hitting .256. He has two home runs with two multi-hit games, and you're still two games above the Detroit Tigers, and you're still a game and a half against the Minnesota Twins. So look, Vinny ain't here. Just like Isaiah Pacheco ain't here.
But I don't think the Isaiah Pacheco injury is going to have nearly the impact that this Vinny Pasquantino injury had.
Because when Vinny Pasquantino got hurt, everybody put their heads in their lap and cried.
Right.
Everybody, from the team to the staff to the fans, and they went on a 7-game losing streak.
That's right.
Okay? And that's what the Chiefs have to avoid, is the Chiefs have to avoid that sort of emotional loss. Here's the deal. You're still a playoff team. You play the San Francisco Giants Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You'll then play the Atlanta Braves and the Washington Nationals. You play three National League teams, one of which isn't going to make the playoffs, the other two fighting. The problem is, and I think the reason why fans are in a state of, like my stepmother, like my dad, who are like, is it okay if I'm Debbie Downer right now? I said, absolutely.
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 Yeah.
I think the reason why it sucks and the reason why it hurts is because it's running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's nine games left.
And you're losing to the wrong team at the worst possible time, and you got swept.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did you get swept, your star player had a grand slam and it meant nothing.
Meant nothing.
Which
only had three hits in that 3-game series.
Right. And I was telling people that grand slam kind of made me feel like it was the 13-second game, right? The high of that win, and then immediately afterwards, you're like, oh, yeah, well, it doesn't mean anything now. Cool, he had a grand slam. I don't care. 913-586-7965. Feel free to call in.
Yeah, but
no
also
text.
But also too with Bobby Witt, it's not just the last couple of days against the Tigers or anything like
right.
that. It's the entire last month. 238 in his last 28 days. That's not a good batting average for a guy who a lot of people said the MVP race is over. We'll just call it right
yeah,
now.
It's done.
It's done. He's not going to be the MVP. It's probably
been over.
Yeah, right. It probably has. Again, we're talking about Aaron Judge, and the Yankees did clinch last night. Mm-hmm. But this is where. And again, he's still very young, but you know, if you're going to make the Patrick Mahomes comparisons, like
yeah.
Mahomes was taking care of business from day one, and baseball's a lot harder. The season's a lot longer. I think these guys are probably getting tired right now. They've never, and I'm not making excuses. I'm just laying out reality. They've never played high leverage games like this in their life, other than Salvador Perez, right?
Mm.
Nobody else has really played day to day in these high leverage type of situations for 162 games like they're doing right now. It wears on you. We'll hear something that Ned Yost told us a little bit later on about starting pitching in the postseason, just to kind of behind the scenes. We're taping a bunch of interviews for the 10th anniversary of the wild card game, and Ned was talking about starting pitching and just kind of the stamina of the playoffs versus the regular season. Well, these last couple of weeks have kind of been playoff type of games, and you know, Bobby Witt's got to perform better. Like, if you're going to be in that MVP category, you truly need to step up your game as an MVP, the most valuable player, when somebody on your team goes down. We've seen Mahomes do it. We've seen Kelsey do it. We've seen people on the Chiefs do it all the time. That's why with a Pacheco injury, I'm like, yeah, that's fine. We've seen these guys step up. Granted, they have more experience doing it, but I feel like they've been doing it since day one. And Bobby Witt, since Vinny has gone down, has basically been non-existent. 246 batting average in September. The team's not doing much better. They're only hitting 224 this month. And you lose Vinny, and it's a big loss because he was your most clutch hitter by far. Runners in scoring position, we talked about yesterday, right? Nobody's getting these hits with these runners on base and in scoring position. Vinny Pasquantino on the season, guys, was hitting 375 with runners in scoring position and two outs. Like, that is as clutch a stat as you can look at, and nobody's coming through.
Right.
Nobody's picking up the slack. Nobody's getting the job done from an offensive standpoint. This is not on the pitching anymore.
No.
Daniel Lynch IV was fantastic last night.
Yeah.
The bullpen hasn't been awful, and it's just the offense isn't scoring any runs, and they've got to find a way to get those hitting shoes back on, as they like to say.
Yeah, they scored 9 runs versus Detroit, and 6 of them came in game one.
Game
they scored
one, yeah.
1 2 nights ago, and they scored 2 last night.
Right.
Your offense has to be better. That's
a
fact.
Yep.
The other thing, too, is that you're understanding now the effect of not giving Bobby Witt Jr. anything to hit, which would be why his average is declining. He's getting one pitch to hit in a every at bat.
And how frustrated does he have to be in those situations,
sure.
too, right?
Yep. You're the best player on your team. Go back to Little League when your team sucked.
Right.
And you had one guy on your team that was the only guy that could play. And every time you played a team that knew that, they were just like, walk him.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens. But the thing is that I understand that people are going to be either optimistic or they're going to be like, oh, season's over. Season's not over.
Big 9 games.
You still definitely have a 2-game lead over Detroit, and you have a game and a half lead over Minnesota. Minnesota just lost 2 or 3 against Cleveland. You just unfortunately got swept by Detroit.
Yeah.
And the problem why I think it hurts, and I saw somebody in the text, I'd say Alec Marsh is trash. He needs to go. His start before this last one, he had 5 innings and struck out 11 batters. Chill.
Yeah, Alec, it's
he's
not the
a
pitching.
Starter.
Like,
he's not a starter.
It's not the pitching that's hurting this ball club right now at all. It's not. It's the lack of production at the plate.
And the thing is that you can complain about the manager. The players have to execute. You didn't complain about the managers when they were winning 12 out of 14 games. So stop with that.
Wait, how would the manager be making this team win games? What's the complaint about
Q? He's not bunting in the eighth. He's not putting the right guy that Dave from Lenexa wants to see pitch in the damn eighth inning.
All
That's what people are pissed about.
Right. That's what they're mad about.
So
be pissed at your starting shortstop who's not getting the job done right now.
Not only that, you also are these people that get mad at the manager that also say, well, if they had Vinny Pasquantino, well, they don't have Vinny Pasquantino.
Right. Somebody
they don't
else.
Have have him.
Somebody else has got to step it up.
The thing is, this team is still in the playoffs. This team is not done. This team is not getting bad management. You did not like this manager last year. He turned this team into an 82-game win team when they were winning 56 damn games last year. It's not the manager's fault. It's not Vinny Pasquantino's absence fault. It's the players on the stadium floor right now that aren't getting the job done. They had a great start from Cole Reagans. They gave him zero run support. They had a decent outing last night. They gave him zero run support. Not talking about Marsh, talking about the bullpen. The first game, they had 2 4-run leads, and they blew it both times, yep. And they wasted a start. That's on the team. That's not on the manager.
Yeah, we got to stop blaming the manager in these situations. I know we don't like to hold our star players accountable, and God forbid anybody say Patrick Mahomes had a bad game the other day throwing the football around, and people want to they want to kill you. You can't say that about Patrick. No, Patrick didn't play well, and that's where we are right now with Bobby Witt Jr. He's not performing to the level that he needs to be performing to be the leader of this
and
ball club.
Salvador Perez has been bad.
Yeah, Salvi's hitting .271 this month in the month of September, because I looked at his numbers too.
Right.
I'm like, is Salvi bad as well? Salvi's about as consistent as he's been every single month for this season. Right, he's hitting right around .271 in September, and that's pretty much been where he's been all season long. So I'm like, he's been kind of consistent. You know, the other thing that they're lacking on right now, they're not getting the home run. In the month of August, they hit 41 home runs, Dusty. They have 12 in September. They're not putting the ball out of the yard right now. So, like, everything that could go wrong from an offensive standpoint is going wrong. They have to find a way to hit the brakes. And thank God there's an off day today. You know, usually you like to play a game after getting beat and whatnot. This team needs a day of rest. They need a day to refocus. And San Francisco's coming in, and they've won, I think they took 2 out of 3 from Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken. They may have just swept the Orioles. Or no, they got another game today at noon against Baltimore. So they close out that series, but they've won the last two. I've been kind of watching those games before the Royals get started. San Francisco, I thought, was a team that was kind of on the precipice of quitting, right? Like they were going to be done. They haven't quit. They're playing a postseason team in Baltimore, and they're beating a postseason team in Baltimore.
Right.
And that's the next team that's coming here to Kansas City. So I can't be worried about Detroit and Minnesota anymore. The Royals have to take care of business themselves. They're in position. They still have an 85.6% chance to make the playoffs. It was a 91% chance to make the playoffs yesterday.
Yes.
And so what that tells me is the ball's in your court. You can't worry about what Detroit does now. You can't worry about what Baltimore does. You can't worry about what Minnesota does. You have to go out there and take care of business yourselves. And this is where Bobby Witt's going to earn that money and show the rest of the league that he is the MVP. He needs to take the reins of this team right now. In these type of situations, your leaders and your best players need to step it up. Go back to the Chiefs postseason run last year. Who stepped it up in the postseason? Travis Kelce. That's your leader. That's your big dog. That's the guy who stepped it up and performed when you needed him to. Chris Jones came through. All of your high-priced, high-paid, high-valued superstars have to come through. And so Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt need to come through for this team. We can't be mad at Yuli Gurriel. You can't be mad at MJ Melendez. You can't be mad at the guy who looks like Bono in center field or Tommy Pham or any of these guys that were brought in. Your big-time superstars, your Salvador Perez's and your Bobby Witt Jr.'s, those are the two guys that need to get the job done. And until they get the job done, nothing else matters on this team.
Listen to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
All right. I'm good. I popped a 6 milli zinni.
There you go.
I got a Zinchino in the upper lippy. I'm good. I'm passionate about this city, man. I love you all. I love these teams. They're still a playoff team. You know, it's like a marriage. Some days you stub your toe and your wife calls you a crybaby. And you go outside and you scream in the shed. And then you come back in and you kiss her on the lips and you say, it's all right, baby, I still love you. That's how I feel with all of you. And that's how I feel about myself. And somebody says, just breathe, my friends. We're all frustrated with the Royals. Just remember, We still have the undefeated Chiefs.
Yeah, right. Like that's the thing. But I mean, it's two separate things, right? Like it's okay to have two good teams and to root for both teams at the same time in our town. I know we really haven't had that, you know, opportunity. But I don't know that I'm necessarily quote unquote frustrated with the Royals. I still think I'm enjoying the season because we didn't expect this team with nine games to go to have a two-game, game-and-a-half lead in the postseason. Like again, think about expectation. Think about where you were, and expectations do change over time. And if they don't make it into the playoffs, this will be looked at as an epic collapse. But nothing is over until it is officially over. Nobody's clinched a playoff spot other than the Yankees right now, and Milwaukee, obviously, in the National League. There are plenty of spots up for grabs. There's plenty of opportunity to do it. And worst-case scenario, if they don't make it into the postseason, they still would have had a nice season. It's still a building block season of where you're going with this organization moving forward. And you always have to kind of keep that in perspective. I know we get caught up in the day-to-day, right? We're living baseball where every game matters right now. And we haven't been in that spot really since 2014, quite honestly. And I remember in 2015, September was not a good month for the Royals. And people were panicking and losing their minds and going, oh my God, what's going to happen? And I remember those conversations and having them with folks. And I'm like, you just got to calm down. This is a team that's already been to the World Series. They know how to win. They're going to be just fine. You play a little bum baseball in September. Don't worry about it. You get ready for October. But this is a team that just doesn't have that experience. Like, had they gone through this last year, I would be a little bit more confident that I am right now. But again, as we've talked about, you know, we've got a pedigree of a manager that knows how to win. He's been in Cleveland and Tampa, right? Like they're winning organizations. He's seen the winning and he understands the winning and he keeps the right mindset too. I know people want, you know, managers and coaches to flip the spread and yell and chew somebody out and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And that's not him.
It's not him, but it really doesn't work. I mean, think about your own position, right?
Think about the manager that was here previously to him.
Yeah, well, that guy, I don't know that he yelled, but he was very rigid and very tight and every game mattered. And oh my God, it was intense. You can't manage that way. Right. Think about your own place of business. Are you motivated by fear or are you motivated by a calm boss who says, yeah, you didn't have a good day today, but you know, we got your back. Go get them tomorrow. Everything's going to be okay. And that's the way Q is. And that's the managing style that you need. That's the way that Andy Reid is. That's the way that Ned was. Winners are like that. They understand, look, it's a long season. There's ups and downs. You maximize the wins, you minimize the losses. But now with nine games to go, when we start on Friday night, you have to push the gas, right? The pedal to the metal, and you got to be on a sprint for these last nine games. I don't know how many wins it's going to take over these last nine games to ensure you got a playoff spot, but you just got to take care of your own business. You got San Francisco, a losing team coming in. Keep them losing.
Right.
You go to Washington, a losing team. Keep them losing. And then the final three games against the Braves, they're battling for a playoff spot. They may come down to the final three games. And boy, wouldn't that be a lot of fun for the Royals to come down to the final three games of this season fighting for a playoff spot when 6 months ago we were hoping to get out of April above 500?
Yeah. And I'm with a lot of these text line people. And again, it's, you know, says somebody says, it sounds like you need a cookie. That's fine. I can give you the address. I like the softer ones. Crumble Cookies got a great lineup this week. Wait till next week. But no, the thing about it is there's two things and then we'll move on. I promise. And we'll go back to the Royals. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
There's two things right here, Bob. One is if you're emotional, it's a good thing. That means you care.
That means you care.
And that means you care about something that is good. The other thing too, is that you're still a playoff team today when you woke up and it is a long season. And I thought this was a great text too. And when day one of the wild card comes, no one will give a crap about what happened in the regular season at all.
As long as you're playing.
And it is that time because you haven't built your lead. You went through a 7-game losing streak. Now you're in a 4-game losing streak. But now you need somebody to step up on Friday night, which I will be there. I'll be at the game Friday night. I'm going to go see them play. I'm hoping that I bring some good luck. But again, like, you have to look at the big picture. They are still a playoff team. They are still a 2-game lead over Detroit. It just happened to be a terrible sweep at home in your home stadium in front of your home crowd against the worst possible team that it could have happened to.
Right. I mean, have you looked at what Baltimore's doing right now? They're not winning a lot of games. They're 6-9 in September. They were 13-15. Baltimore has not had a 500 month since June. okay? And that's the team that you're potentially going to play in the postseason. They are not playing good baseball right now.
Right.
So you get into the playoffs, you play Baltimore. Hey, I like that matchup right now because the Baltimore Orioles just aren't playing good ball right now. They've lost three straight games two straight games to the Giants, one before that to Detroit. They beat Detroit. They lost a game there. I mean, they're doing a lot of losing since this month of September has taken place. And so Baltimore's not playing great right now.
Right.
I think at this point of the season, it's all about just surviving and advancing and figuring out ways to scrap out a couple of wins and finding ways to get the job done. And again, it's up to Bobby Witt. It's up to Salvador Perez. Those are the two guys that need to lead this team into the postseason and say, all right, enough is enough of this losing. We've lost four in a row. Haven't won since Saturday in Pittsburgh. It's going to be almost a week when they take the field tomorrow since they last won a baseball game. It's not on the manager. It's not on the pitching coach. It's not on the owner. The two people that need to lead this team are Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt Jr. And if they're not playing well and they're not getting the job done, then there's nothing we can do about the rest of the team. Your stars have to be stars at this point of the season. That's like the NFL. It's a star-powered league, right? Major League Baseball, the NBA, a star-powered league. Your stars lead. You're as good as your star players are. Your star players have to be stars for these last nine games.
And the thing also is that you're going to have two different sides of people on this whole situation. You have those other people that are like, I've just moved on to football season. You have the other people that are like, I'm still here. I'm going to ride the ship out. I'm on.
You can move on to football season and still embrace baseball season, though. It's not one or the other, folks.
But if you move on to football season, I don't want to hear you come October when this team's playing playoff baseball. I don't want to see you.
I'm back.
You're gone.
You can't bail now. You can't bail now. Dusty, you got this far.
From the 816, Dusty must have went to Lewisburg for apple cider last night. Well, I didn't. I went to the Plate in Leawood. It was a great restaurant. Had a great meal. Fantastic meal. Then somebody says also, to keep me a little bit more optimistic, Dustman got my first pumpkin spice air freshener of the year last night. The fall vibes are immaculate today, baby. Yeah, there you go. Have fun. We move on. This was Andy Reid yesterday on the signing and the addition of Kareem Hunt.
Well, just calling around and making sure that things were okay. Pat stayed good friends with him. So he was at Pat's wedding. And so, those two came out in the same class and developed a friendship here. And then... their general manager spoke highly of him, so coaches and so on. So we felt good about it.
Andy Reid on Kareem Hunt and the changes and what, maybe time can do. And then this was Patrick Mahomes, your quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, on Kareem Hunt.
Everybody has friends that make mistakes, and obviously some are bigger than others. But at the same time, you want to make the person better. You want to see them taking the right steps to become a better person for themselves, their family, and the rest of society. And so I think you've seen that with Kareem. And so I've stayed in touch with him just to see how he's doing, how his family's doing, everything like that. And he's been able to carve out a great career in the NFL, but I mean, you've seen he's been able to keep his nose clean and be a better person, and that's what you want in order to make everybody better people.
I listened to those comments yesterday from Andy and Patrick, and I thought to myself, you know what? If they're willing to give him a second opportunity and Clark's willing to give him a second opportunity,
that's the big one.
We need to give him a second opportunity. And there's nobody better in this world to give people a second opportunity than Andy Reid. I mean, this was a guy who visited Michael Vick in Leavenworth when he wasn't even part of his team, but Andy would make trips to Leavenworth when he was coaching the Eagles and visit with Michael Vick in his jail cell, right? Andy Reid has given guys opportunity after opportunity. Travis Kelce's another guy who got multiple opportunities with Andy Reid. And so I know what Kareem Hunt did was a despicable act, and then he lied to the owner of the franchise about that. But put yourself in those shoes when you were 22 or 23. And I don't want to compare the acts, but we all made mistakes when we were 22 or 23 that you probably didn't make again. And you probably wouldn't make that mistake if you were a little older and you had your head on your shoulders the correct way. So I'm willing to give Kareem Hunt that second opportunity, especially here in Kansas City, when most people come in here and get that second opportunity, they take advantage of that second opportunity. I wish baseball would give players and whatnot an opportunity like the NFL does. Baseball's got the elitists at the Ivy Leagues running their operation right now. They don't want to give anybody a second opportunity right now, right? How much better would this team be with Trevor Bauer coming out of the bullpen right now? I think a lot better, right? But baseball, for whatever reason, doesn't want to give these guys a second opportunity. Football does give guys second chances. And I think right now, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they're familiar with Kareem Hunt. Obviously, Patrick is friends with him. I don't have an issue with them giving Kareem Hunt a second chance. And I don't think many fans have an issue with them giving Kareem Hunt a second chance. It's just like, what do you expect now out of Kareem Hunt? And like I said yesterday, if you go in with expectations of zero, then you're going to be pleasantly surprised at Kareem Hunt's potential right. performance.
I think the thing that's also interesting about this is that people nitpick on the second chances, right? Like, I understand it was domestic violence.
Yeah, it was awful.
You know that Charles Minnehue's on this team, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know why he missed six games last year?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Right? And there's guys throughout the league that have done that.
I think the difference is we all saw what Kareem Hunt did, the video.
And it was lied about.
Right, and it was lied about.
And, you know, I am one of those people, and I've been given second chances 1,000 times, as weird as that sounds. I've had second chances with this job. I've had second chances with relationships. I've had second chances with my family. I've had second chances with the law, in fact. I mean, I'm just being honest, throwing it out there on the table. And look, I don't think he's the same person. And we had Danon Hughes on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And even he said, he's like, you know, Kareem Hunt, if he wants to, he goes to the organization. He owns it. He apologizes. He shows that he's, you know, grown from this. And, you know, if there's people in your franchise that you trust, I don't know who you can't trust more than your starting quarterback and your head coach.
That's right.
Who have proven to everybody, like, even if you want to be honest with you, even Andy Reid got a second chance, right?
Right.
It didn't
yeah.
work in Philadelphia. It was mm-hmm. an ugly divorce. Mm-hmm. Came to Kansas City, and it seems like everybody forgot about Andy Reid.
Right.
Now, that's not domestic violence, but again, that's a second chance.
It's a second opportunity.
And,
yeah. you
know,
his last 2 years in Philadelphia were not good football seasons.
They were not. And he put too much on his plate.
Right.
And he came to a realization. And I'm sure when he had that conversation with Clark Hunt before he was going to go to Arizona and apply for that job or interview for that job, he probably told Clark, he's like, look, here's what didn't go right in Philly. This is on me. Here's what we need to do. Here's the guys we need to bring in. And here's what we need to fix on to make sure that we're successful. And what happened?
They got the job. He's been successful.
And he won three suits, right?
Yeah, they've been pretty good.
And, you know, it's interesting. And I know there's a lot of people that say, well, if Kareem Hunt's back, you know, when does he play? And Andy Reid kind of gave a timeline of that.
We'll get him in here and get some work, kind of get him back in the swing of playing. And then we'll just see, you know, as the game gets closer, we'll see how things go there and so on. But we try to get him in a position where he's ready to play either this week, next week, or the following week.
We'll so look, a great timeline. Yeah. This week, next week, or the following week. Andy did right then and there, he just sent a message to Atlanta. You got one more thing now you better prepare for, whether yeah. Kareem Hunt plays or not. It's a brilliant coaching move by Andy to say he could potentially play this week, because now the Falcons have to waste their time wondering and preparing for Kareem Hunt. That's the head football coach Hall of Famer right there.
Right.
Just by saying that, which didn't sound like a whole lot in the press conference, but now Atlanta's going, all right, now we got to prepare for Kareem Hunt. And they're going to waste time preparing for Kareem Hunt, and Kareem may not even play. Love when Andy Reid does that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, that reminded me of the quote of, like, the first preseason game. Yeah, look, starter's going to play the first quarter. Yeah, but not what you think.
Right.
Right.
Like, play.
I would almost guarantee, and if I'm wrong, I'll come on the show Monday and gladly admit it, but I don't think he's going to be there this Sunday.
I don't think he is either, but now
me,
he put it out there,
yeah.
and Atlanta's got to go, all right, let's see what Kareem Hunt has, and let's see if we got to prepare for him. It wastes their time.
But it does give me optimism that he could be ready for the Chargers game. I do think there's a possibility mm-hmm. that he could be ready for week four.
Yeah, I think like we, and I say the collective we,
yeah.
like fans, we put like too much emphasis on, oh my God, is he going to be ready? Is he, like, we worry too much about that stuff when they're just like, you're ready to go? Let's go. Come on. We're going to play some football.
He's played in the system, so he's going to know the play. That's not going to be the ramp up for him. It's really just going to be getting in shape. And I'm sure he's kept himself in some sort of football
physical
shape.
He is, from what I understand, in physical shape, from like a yoked perspective, he looks great. It was his stamina that they were concerned about.
Yeah,
and you know what? You play two plays, go out to the sideline, take some oxygen, get a glass of water,
exactly.
go back in, and it'll be okay.
And he hasn't been hit in 12 months.
Yeah, that's the thing. He hasn't done anything football related since the end of last season. So
six months.
I mean, is that a concern? I don't know. I mean, I think we like to make it a concern. I think we dig deeper into some of this stuff than the actual teams do. They'll get him out there and practice yesterday, today, whatever it was. They'll look at him and be like, hey, you want to play? Fine, let's go. Let's see what you can do. And so one way or the other, Kareem Hunt is going to be part of this offense moving forward, and hopefully he does deliver. Hopefully he isn't a 29-year-old running back that like looks like a 29-year-old running back. Hopefully he's a 29-year-old running back that looks like he did a couple of years ago, and we can have some success. And then when you get Isaiah Pacheco back in 6 to 8 weeks, now all of a sudden you got Pacheco and potentially Kareem Hunt, and now you've got some exciting things going on in that backfield.
Not only that, speaking of people that, you know, you want to see come to life and get back to themselves is Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And I know you've got a show from 2 to 6 that's leaning into the narrative that he's washed. I don't believe that. I don't think that's the case. I think that there's a little bit of you know, schemes, and there's a little bit of this and that, but this was Chase Daniel on his opinion of Travis Kelce.
It's load management for here. We got a graphic. To your point, exactly, just to illustrate to the viewers, the last 6 games of the regular season last year for Travis Kelce, he didn't even average 5 catches a game. 57 receiving yards per game, 0 tink tinks, as James likes to say. All right, look at the playoffs, Shady, to your point. 8 catches a game, 90 yards receiving, and 3 touchdowns. All right, so they're saving him for this. And I went back and actually checked, and I had Colin, my producer, check. So he has 39 yards through 2 games this year. He had a 41-yarder called back because of holding on Kingsley Sumataya, the Chiefs' rookie left tackle, who actually got pulled in that game for his bad play. Okay, ooh. Last season he had 95 yards through 2 games. You add that in, he's at 82 yards. So he's on track similar to last year.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, it is the same. The only thing, Shady, that I think we aren't thinking about is that, yeah, they didn't have the receivers that they did last year, but they lost Isaiah Pacheco. Mm-hmm. They lost Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They lost Hollywood Brown. A bunch of other playmakers. Okay, Rashee Rice right now and Xavier Worthy, the only guys. You're going to have to step up way sooner than the playoffs. So you got to show it earlier in the year.
So he kind of, I don't know, talks out of both sides of his
really
mouth.
Yeah, he really does. There, I was like, that doesn't make sense at the end, right?
And that's just, you know, Chase being Chase, I guess. But the other thing, too, is that, you know, this is also on Travis. And he was on his podcast, New Heights, with his brother, and they talked about his slow start.
Mahomes' quote, we play 2 opponents. We play a lot, and they have a plan on how they're going to account and defend Travis. But as the season goes, he's going to get his catches, and he's going to get his yards. So,
yeah. And I could have played better, man. It is what it is.
All right.
Could have played better. Could have ran better routes. Could have got out of my breaks a little bit faster. Knowing Hendricks was on one. And it's just, you know, you see things, you know, Monday morning quarterback. You see things better after the game and realize how you can play better and be better for your teammates. And sure enough, I've always had that accountability. I've always been my worst critic. And I'm going to, you know, remain my worst critic. I think that that I can improve a lot for my guys and be there for Pat in a lot of different situations. But like I was saying earlier, it takes a lot of things to go right for somebody to get the football. I'm just fortunate that Coach Reed and this offensive staff has given me that opportunity and, you know, has the confidence that I'll be able to get it done.
And that's what a veteran does, man. That's what a veteran leader does. You own it. You say, it's on me, even though I don't know how much of it is truly on him versus I do believe, and we kind of said this going into the year, it would be a load management type of situation for Travis Kelce. But I think this is the week, and I've been saying it since Monday, I think this is the week that Travis Kelce breaks out and has that big game because now the people are doubting him, right? It's becoming a national story. Oh, my God, he's no good. Ooh. Oh, my God, the load management. What's wrong with Travis Kelce? This is the type of game that we've seen in the past where Travis Kelce comes out and goes hog wild and has himself a game. And I think that's going to be the case on Sunday. I think he's going to be the focal point of this offense. I think they're going to show everybody, hey, Travis is still here. He's still a beast. But I also think there's going to be that load management style with Travis Kelce. And at 34, 35 years old, I don't have a problem with that. I'm not there to see Travis Kelce get numbers and then watch the Chiefs lose in the postseason. I'm there to see how we preserve these guys for the entire regular season, which is why I've said for years, this regular season is a dress rehearsal for the postseason. They know what they're doing with Travis Kelce. They know what they're doing with all the guys on their roster right now. They're going to get the experience. It's more important to get experience for Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice at this point of the season than it is for Travis Kelce to go get his, because you're going to need Worthy and Rice to grow and get better within this offense so when they reach the postseason, they understand how to dominate and how to play in the postseason, and you know what you have in those guys in the postseason. And so they know what they have in Travis Kelce. And Travis will get his. Travis will have his big games. Travis will have his big moments. Then when the postseason gets here, then Travis Kelce turns it on to third gear, whatever it is, and then dominates the postseason like he did a season ago. But I think this is the week where he breaks out and everybody goes, see, we told you Travis is going to be okay. He's going to have a big game in Atlanta.
And if this is, you know, to give you numbers, the Eagles tight ends combined for 5 for 57 yards against the Atlanta Falcons, and the Steelers tight ends combined for 5 for 32 yards.
So they've done good against the tight end.
So they, and again, that's Fairmuth and Goddard. Yeah. Right. And two other guys that are irrelevant. But Travis Kelce's numbers going into this, according to DraftKings, Over under 4.5 receptions, over under yards 48.5.
I'm taking the over on both.
There you go.
I'm pounding the over on both of those because I do think that because not only with the loss of Isaiah Pacheco, but again, the talk like this team, if you watch what happens over the history with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, when certain things start to become talked about and start to become an issue, they usually go out there and cure those things. And right now, the issue, if you will, oh my God, what happened to Travis Kelce? Fine, let's show you where Travis Kelce is. Where are they playing on Sunday?
Atlanta.
Tony Gonzalez's hometown. Tony Gonzalez's team. That's where he became a star tight end and a Hall of Famer, he said, right down there in Atlanta. And what else is happening on Sunday besides the free food for all the Chiefs fans that are going down to Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Sunday night football.
That's right.
The lights are bright. The national stage. Travis Kelce's going to shine, baby. I'm telling you right now, hit the over on both of those. Travis is having a big night.
Three catches on the first drive for 40 yards for Travis Kelce.
Right.
Book it. Yeah,
right.
Sit
and
back,
a touchdown.
Sit back, relax, and everything will be fine.
Right.
On the other side, Bob and I take flight here on 96.5 The Fan for Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. I did some practice last night, boys. I sat in front of the mirror like Paul Rudd in the movie Wanderlust. I was going to give you that number. I was going to give you that dial. 96.5 The Fan. Somebody said he had 1,000 yards last year, and they're acting like he had a bad year. He did not. He had 984.
Yeah, he was a couple yards shy of 1,000, give or take.
Because
right?
They load management and let him play the last game.
Right, he didn't play the first game or the last game.
Right.
I really thought they would put him in the last game to get 16 yards. And
man.
They're like, nah, it doesn't matter.
No.
And that right there is when I think as fans, if you didn't realize it,
right.
Regular season numbers don't matter to these guys. It's all about just finding ways to win games. But Travis Kelce, I think, is going to be a big part of that game this weekend. If you're looking for some fun stuff to do today, 11-1, I'll be at Hy-Vee at 95th and Antioch, and it's Thursday. That means it's steak day, okay? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you $10. You're going to get an 8-ounce steak. You're going to get mashed potatoes. You're going to get green beans, and you're going to go home a happy camper today, right?
That's what you're going to do. I have a problem that I would say I need two dinners, and it'd
you
be
can
only
have
for
two.
One.
That's fine.
Yeah,
you can load
16
up.
Ounce.
No, load up, man. It's 10 bucks for your steak dinner starting at 11 o'clock. We'll have the grills fired up at all the Hy-Vees around Kansas City. It is a great deal, especially when you're busy, you're trying to feed the kiddos, get stuff done. I know we go from Hy-Vee. We've got football this afternoon. We got something else going on tonight. So it's just a wild and crazy time. Everybody's busy. Go get a couple of steak dinners at Hy-Vee tonight. And don't forget, it's your one-stop shop for your Chiefs shopping as well, the Chiefs-themed cookies and whatnot. And also at Hy-Vee liquor stores, it's Thirsty Thursday. For every $50 you spend at Hy-Vee, you get 50 cents off per gallon of gas. I cashed in pretty good last week on that before the Chiefs game. So I'll see you at Hy-Vee. At 95th and Antioch from 11 to 1. Come say hi, throw a pie at my face, whatever you want to do, but just get the Hy-Vee today from 11 to 1.
Can I ask you an off question?
Yeah, sure.
Why is it every time you go to Hy-Vee, it's like 90 degrees?
I know, right? I was thinking about that today, right? The last one was hot.
Cold rag, man.
Right. It's going to be hot out there today.
But
I'll get inside. They got great air conditioning inside the Hy-Vee. I'll hang out with the apples and the produce department and whatnot. So, yeah, just come on, say hi. We've got a lot going on at the Hy-Vee today.
From the 913, did y'all take your inspiration pills today? This is a very inspiring hour to listen to you guys. Well there you go.
I think you have to be inspiring because at the end of the day, guys, things are really good here in Kansas City. I was thinking about it last
night. Airports and
stuff. We'll get to that in one second, but I was thinking about last night as I was kind of sitting outside watching the game and, you know, kind of taking it all in and thinking, you know, we were talking about the wild card game being 10 years at the end of the month, and we've done a lot of interviews and we'll have all this stuff for you on the 30th. And it just kind of got my mind, like, the last 10 years of Kansas City sports have been the best 10 years we've ever experienced. And we've never had anything like this before in our lifetimes. Both of our franchises are winning. All of our franchises are winning. People forget the Kern are doing really well right now. Sporting's a little bit down, but they've been consistently good.
They
basically
did something
since
last night, right? I saw like Carrington's Instagram story. There was confetti flying everywhere.
Oh, maybe they
Carrington
won something.
Carrington had a soccer game. How about that?
That's
wild. I think
wild.
He lost a bet with Rob.
Oh, did he?
I don't know.
but I just think right now, like, again, perspective, like the last 10 years, it's been a decade of dominance in Kansas City, right? And so when you have this decade of dominance that's been going on right now, sometimes you do get lost in the minutia of losing four straight baseball games at the end of September for a team that's still trying to get into the playoffs. But pump the brakes a little bit because it's been a great baseball season, and we know the organization is in great hands, and the Chiefs are the Chiefs. And you mentioned the airport yesterday, the KCI, which, you know, how many people were against the new airport, was ranked as the third best airport in the United States by USA Today, the readers and travelers. No, not at all.
And, Was it been 2 years?
Yeah, roughly. About, because I remember September 2 years ago, I was up there when it was like 90% complete. I had a hard hat on.
Hanging out in the part in the drop-off lane?
I was.
Pissing off Dana Wright?
Yeah.
It was great
before it opened because you just parked anywhere. We went in with hard hats on and toured this thing. I'm like, I can't believe what this airport is going to look like. It's going to be so cool. And it has been outstanding. It's been one of the great crown jewels of Kansas City. And they've done an amazing job with that airport. Justin Meyer and his crew up there have just been phenomenal. And it's getting the accolades that it deserves as the third best airport now, you know, in the United States. And remember when everybody was complaining about the, or the loud people were complaining about, oh, we don't need a new airport. It's the same people that were complaining about the stadium. Oh, we don't need this. We don't need that. No, we do need this. And we do need that. And I was reminded again, being at Arrowhead, how small the concourse is and how tight it is and you can't get around and you need that expansion, man. It's just going to be good. And so for those who doubt the new stadium for the Royals and renovated Arrowhead or whatever the hell they're going to do with their stadium, whether they build new or not, remember, you were against the airport and it turned out okay. You were probably against Sprint Center, right? Like the same people were against Sprint Center. They were against Power and Light. They were against the airport. They were against
stadiums.
They're against everything. And everything we do in Kansas City, we do right. We do in a great way. We do in an unbelievable way. And speaking of rankings, Hy-Vee was rated as the best grocery store in America by USA Today.
Really?
Yeah, the number one grocery store in America, Hy-Vee. So we got great grocery stores at Hy-Vee. The airport's the third best. And people are still against the stadium. And it's because they're closed-minded or whatever it is. But when we do things right here in Kansas City, we do it right when it comes to these projects. And so that's why I'm so excited about the potential of two new stadiums, because they will be done right. They will be awesome. Use the airport as your guide when you're sitting there going, I don't want a new stadium. Okay, you probably didn't want the new airport either, and you enjoyed having, you know, a refrigerator full of Coke products for you to grab as opposed to being able to actually have a cocktail now at the airport.
Can you smell it?
The steak at Hy-Vee today?
I mean, now I want steak. I'm not going to have steak tonight because I've already got dinner plans, but I mean, I could go. I could just go on the way home and.
Or you can have lunch.
You can always just go get a steak and put it in your fridge, and the next morning you can make one of the best damn breakfasts of your life.
You could, but how do you reheat steak? Is the air fryer the way to go?
Nah, just put it in the oven on a low heat for like 10 minutes, like 250, 10 minutes, get it warm, and then you cut it up, and then you dice it in a couple eggs, make an omelet. Mm-hmm.
Make some breakfast tacos with that as well. Eggs and steak and a nice little low carb tortilla.
That's right. Somebody says, new airport is fantastic. Fantastic. Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
That's right.
That's a Harbaugh line.
Somebody who did have it good no longer does. According to ratings, it might be crashing fast. We'll talk about that on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.